What's up, guys? Welcome back to another daily Bible reading snapshot. Today we're looking at 2 Samuel 10, 11, and 12. And yesterday was filled with so many good promises about the future for David, but today we're going to see how David steps over the line and he does what's wrong. And because he does what's wrong, there's going to be massive consequences that are going to play out for the rest of the book of Samuel. So let's check this out. In chapter 10, first of all, things are still going well for David. He's defeating his enemies. It says he's defeating the Philistines. He's defeating the Ammonites. He's defeating the Syrians. He's defeating all these different groups of people. And he and Joab are really leading the charge here, along with Abishai, Joab's brother, that they're doing good things for the Lord here, and God's giving them great victories. But the problem is in chapter 11, when David's supposed to go out to battle, he stays back. And the text doesn't say why he stays back, but it shows the massive consequences of him staying home and not doing what he was supposed to be doing. It says in chapter 11 that he sees this lady named Bathsheba. And Bathsheba is the wife of a man named Uriah. Uriah was a Hittite warrior, but it doesn't mean that he fought against the Israelites. In fact, he fought for the Israelites. And in fact, he was a close, loyal guy for David. He's been with David probably for years and years at this point. He was probably one of David's mighty men who was with him even before he was king. So that's who Uriah is. And he has a wife named Bathsheba, and obviously she's home while he's fighting the battles, but David's home too. And David lusts after her. He wants to be with her, so he steals her away, basically, and makes her his wife. And he does it in a horrible way that is absolutely wrong. Obviously, taking anybody's wife is a wrong thing to do, but the way that David does it is super bad. First of all, they get pregnant, and then he grabs Uriah, brings him back from the battle, tries to trick him, and then when that didn't work, once he couldn't really trick him, then he sent him back to the battle, and he made sure Joab got Uriah killed. So he basically steals this other man's wife, and he kills this man. And it says at the end of this chapter that what David did made God very angry. It says in verse 27, "The thing that David has done displeased the Lord." The thing David had done displeased the Lord. Very rarely in the book of Samuel, we see God expressing his opinion about something. We know God's opinion because we have the book of Deuteronomy. We have exactly God's promises from Genesis all the way through Deuteronomy. So we know what God expects of his kings. But then you very rarely get the author saying, "God hated this." But he says it here about what David did, because what David did was so evil. And in chapter 12, Nathan, the prophet, has to actually come and confront David about his sin. And it did not go very well. Because first of all, David was kind of trying to cover up his sin. He didn't want people to really know about it. But Nathan comes and tells a story. He says, imagine there's a rich man and a poor man. And the rich man has everything he needs. But he wants to prepare a meal for a traveler. So he goes and steals the poor man's one and only lamb and prepares that as a meal for the traveler. What do you think we should do to that rich man? And David gets so angry, he says, that rich man should die. Nathan turns around and says, that is you. You are the man. You're the one that did that. You took this guy's wife. All he had was his wife. He was not this rich, powerful person like you are, David. All he had was his wife, and you stole his wife from him, and you killed him. He says, you deserve that same thing. So Nathan starts to list off some curses that are going to come on their family. First of all, he says, you are the person who's guilty. Second of all, he says, the sword shall never depart from your house. After this, the main consequence of David's sin, he has two main consequences, but the first main consequence is the sword will never depart. There will always be fighting within David's family. And that's what we see play out in tomorrow's daily Bible reading and the next days. We're going to see how David's family starts killing each other. It says that's a result of David's sin right here. Also, it says that this son that was born, that David and Bathsheba got pregnant, this son is going to be killed by the Lord. The Lord is going to put this son to death. Not when he grows up, but right now. So it says that later on, he's going to be killed. And it says that here in chapter 12, David's son dies. And it says after that, God forgave him of his sin. He forgave him because David clearly repented. We also see David's repentance in Psalm chapter 51. We see his prayer of repentance. But it says David is forgiven, but the consequences of sin remain. And I think that's the big application here. There was a little temptation in the beginning of chapter 11 that led to a big sin, which led to huge consequences. And I think if David could be here to speak to you to say, don't do what I did, I think what he would say is, first of all, don't put yourself in the position to be tempted like I was, which leads to big sin, which leads to huge consequences. We want to avoid this path of sin at the start. We don't want to have to even get on it at all. And that's what David shows here with his life. He got on this path of sin in chapter 11, and it caused massive problems. He repented, God forgave him. But still, there's going to be big consequences that we're going to see played out in the next few days. So that's our Old Testament reading today. Everything changes for David. It's a horrible day in David's life, a horrible season in David's life. But here in the New Testament, we're looking at Luke chapter 19. We're going to see how Jesus comes into this city of Jerusalem. Very interesting. We're talking about the same city 1,000 years later that David lived in. Now Jesus is coming in. He's the rightful king. Some people recognize him as king. Other people don't. And after all of that, Jesus turns around and looks at the city of Jerusalem, and he weeps over the city of Jerusalem. And he says that they are these people who would always, always be presented with the truth, but they always turn away from the truth. They don't embrace him. They don't embrace Jesus as king. They don't embrace the prophets. They're always rejecting God's messengers. And furthermore, it says he went into the temple and he cleansed the temple, which was not like he started cleaning it up. It says he started getting angry and tearing down the things that they were doing that were corrupt, like selling these pigeons and these birds and these sacrifices at really high prices just so that they could get rich. Jesus hated this corruption. And he's angry, not only at the city, but mainly at the people that are doing these corrupt and evil things. Where in this text is so clear, some receive Jesus as king and others are just living for themselves. And that's what I want us to think through. Okay, am I going to be a person who lives for myself and rejects Jesus? Or am I going to be a person who lives for Jesus and submits to Jesus? That's really the call of Luke chapter 19 for us today. We want to make sure we're people who are submitting to Jesus, not just in the big things, but even in the small things. So I want you to make sure that you're not just watching these DVR snapshots and putting it away and not reading your Bible. I want you to make sure you read your Bible today, and I want you to see those amazing things from God's Word, and I want us to respond with the right obedience that we should. So thanks for joining us today in this DVR snapshot. We'll see you back tomorrow for another one.